One more. One more. I got you, man. I got you. Our speaker, Dan Fitzgerald. Small little mob out there today. I want to thank everybody for their work around here, in case you haven't been thanked. Lord is good.
Amen.
About our Sunday school bus ministry and Wednesday night bus ministry, we've got a lot to thank the Lord for. We're little in numbers, but mighty in work. You guys are good workers. I thought we'd just look at a psalm today with the little bit of time we have left. We'll try to go through this psalm. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. It was on my heart a while back. I read the last verse of it, said, "Praise the Lord." I thought, you know, that's a nice psalm. It's been quoted as being one of the best psalms next to Psalm 23. I don't know if you agree with it, but that's what they say. It's a messianic psalm that basically means relating to the Messiah. Some say the gratitude of the redeemed. Others say praise for deliverance from death. David was a musician. Some call it a love song. Most of the psalms are songs. Psalm 116. Just try to go through it and talk about it a little bit for the next half hour we got. Verse 1. God hears. I love the Lord, because he has heard my supplications. David fills the first commandment here by saying he loves the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. David says he loves the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Do you tell him you love him? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Do you spend intimate time with the Lord? Do you talk to him about secrets? Do you love the Lord? You know, the Bible says we should love him because he first loved us. When you think or look at David, do you think of him as an adulterer? You know, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Or do you think of David as a murderer? He killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite. You know, maybe nobody in here has ever committed adultery or murder. So how do you look at David? David would say that the Lord doesn't see as a man sees, for the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. We have to remember one thing. God allowed him to write this psalm. He may have had many faults in his life, but he is a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
Can God say that about me? Can God say that about you? Are you a person after God's own heart? Forget about David committing adultery and murder. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Can he say that about me? And can he say that about you? Verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. We have to remember that the Lord has been touched with the same infirmities that we have. David realizes that God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He is the man of sorrows, the one who was afflicted, who always reached out to those around him, even on the cross. Being crucified, hanging in nudity and shame, about to bear your wrath and God's wrath, a thief looked at him and a murderer and said to him, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom." And he reached out to him at that time and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Who always reached out to those around him. David says, "I will call upon him as long as I live." Will you call upon him as long as you live? Or when some affliction comes in your life, will you scatter? Remember, he always reaches out to those around him, even at the time of his death. God loves prayer. That is why we should call upon him. We should call upon him today. We should call upon him tonight. We shall call upon him tomorrow. We shall call upon him as long as there is a breath in us. You know, we have a prayer chain going. I call it the circle of truth. It started when Bob's wife left him, August 1st. And we pray every day together on the phone, every single day. Whether I answer or he answers, we leave a message. Since Todd's been diagnosed with cancer, he's come into the prayer. And he's in it every day. And now Steve's in it too because of his situation with his folks. And I'll tell you, man, it's a nice thing. And oh, the sweetness of answered prayer. And I know Anna can vouch for this. I asked her today to leave that baby in this room, so he's staying. Because I love to hear his noises, because we prayed for him. And he's here now. And a little bundle of joy. Oh, the sweetness of answered prayers. We saw the Lord Jesus pray often. He prayed in the garden for the cup to pass. Look at verse 3. "The sorrows of death surround me, and the pains of hell lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." The desperate situation of the Lord on the cross. He knew what he would go through. He sang about it the night before he died. Actually, the death sentence was upon us. It became his sentence. He didn't have to die, but he came to lay his life down for you and for me. David says, "Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul." He cried out to the Lord, "Save me." His prayer was heard. And whatever situation you're in today, you call upon him. He can save to the uttermost. You call upon him today, no matter what your situation is, because he knows it. He is the man of sorrows. Verse 5. "Gracious is the Lord and righteous." He is gracious, but the moral ruler of the universe. He must be right. He must be just. But he is merciful. He's not merciful by any works of righteousness which you and I have done, but it's only according to his mercy that he saved us. You know, mercy means not getting what you do deserve. That's what mercy means. Because you know what you deserve. You deserve the wrath of God, and so do I. He's merciful, gracious, just, righteous, but praise God, he's merciful. He did not give us what we do deserve. It says, while we were yet sinners, that means enemies with God, Christ died for us. We saw that God hears. Now let's see how God helps. Verse 6, the Lord preserves the simple. Mm-hmm. The one who is weak and helpless and unable to shift himself, men of no depth and design, yet God preserves them. Why? Because they commit themselves to him. The simple. Isn't that a wonderful verse? God preserves the simple. Verse 7. Return unto me the rest of my soul. You know, after a frustrating and pressured-filled day, we need to find a quiet place and confess our sins and pour our stress to the Lord. We need to spend time in prayer and in the Word. Do you ever just freak out and just pour yourself out to the Lord? You know, it's the sanctuary of our soul to spend time with him. We need to do that. 5 minutes at least. Confess our sins. Pray to the Lord. Read a little word. It is the sanctuary of our soul. We need to do it. It's not an easy thing to do. There's a battle. I had a battle yesterday going to that conference with the devil. I just could not believe the spiritual battle that I was having. I wanted to go to this conference. Nobody would go. The Lord kept telling me, I need you to just go by yourself. So I was trying to fix this truck, and everything kept going wrong. I went to Home Depot. I bought the wrong part. I went back to Home Depot. I bought the wrong part. Finally, I just said, forget it. Packed it all up, walk into the house. The Lord spoke to me. He says, nothing matters right now, because my grass looks like we're in foreclosure. And he said to me, nothing else matters right now, because our lawnmower's broke. Everything's broke. I haven't fixed anything. And I'll tell you, man, I had a spiritual battle going to this conference, and I went there. And praise God, I went there. I mean, but, you know, it's not easy to just spend quiet time, just a couple minutes, and just let it go. For the Lord has delivered my soul, verse 8, from death. It's true the Lord died, and the wages of sin is death, but there was no sin in him. The grave could not keep him. He rose a victor from the dark domain. Oh, that we may know him in the power of his resurrection, the dynamite of his resurrection. That word means dynamite. That's the only word we have to describe it, that power, dynamite. Paul says, we may know him in the power of his resurrection. May we know him. The Lord has delivered my soul from death. He's delivered our souls too. You who he hath made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And one day he will raise our souls. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. We should walk before the Lord in obedience with the uttermost respect. For this is the land of mercy He's provided for us. Right here. And we should walk before the land of the living. Verse 10, I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. We see David's confession. He believed and he had spoken. He has spoken in the past verses of his testimony how he was delivered from the pit and from the pains of hell. You know, the Apostle Paul quotes this verse in 2 Corinthians. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. And here he quotes it. I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also have believed, and therefore we speak. And if you have believed, you have this spirit also. This is the spirit of the Lord. This is the spirit that produces faith, and we are to speak of it. There's much to speak about concerning this spirit that produces faith, like the faith in your eternal redemption, or the faith in your prayers. We have faith in our prayers, don't we? And we're to speak about it, it says. We have Griffith back there. And Griffith is from prayers, folks. And we're to speak of these answered prayers. I'm an answered prayer. My father prayed for me for 17 years. I never thought I'd be up here. And we are to speak of it. Faith in your God. We're to speak of the faith in our God, because we have the true God and the living God, not a God of idols, not an Allah. We serve the true and living God who answers our prayers. David says, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. Paul says, and we have believed us, and therefore we speak. And we are to speak. We need to proclaim this wonderful faith. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. And you too will get affliction if you get outspoken about the Lord. You ask David when you get to heaven. You know, Jim said something interesting at this conference last night. He was talking about a missionary who used to go to Russia and slip Bibles in. Well, guess what? He got caught a couple times. This is under the Soviet Union. And that's not a funny thing to get caught doing. Okay? So he was talking to a guy from Germany, and the guy said, we have peace over here and freedom. We don't get persecution over here. And he was boastfully talking about it. He goes, we can preach in the open air, we can do this, and we suffer no persecution. The missionary stopped him and said, what do you do with 2 Timothy? Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What do you do with that verse? I was greatly afflicted. Well, Jim went on to say, in this country, the United States of America, this antichrist country you live in, you get outspoken about the Lord, and you will be afflicted. Greatly afflicted. Like Jim said, are you standing with the Lord? Test it. Test yourself to see if you really are. Because you will get afflicted here if you get outspoken for the Lord. Verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Paul would say, let God be true and every man a liar. As David looks at his situation, he realizes the phonies that have encompassed him. And he sees that God is his only help. Folks, this is where the rubber meets the road right here. We've all had friends turn on us. We've all had family turn on us. My mom has her daughter turn on her right now. Steve has got his sister and family turned on him right now. And David realizes this. As he had his friends turn on him and his family. Remember, his son Absalom's coming after him wanting to take the throne. His own son. David realizes that God is really all he has. And God is really, when it comes down to it, all we have. All you have and all I have. As David realizes this in his situation, he says this in verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? It's not like we can render anything to the Lord. We sometimes think in our little minds we can actually render to the Lord. Do we ever think like David? Do we thank the Lord for all his benefits towards us? Our health. Do we thank the Lord for our health? What about our homes? Do we thank the Lord for our home? Or our job? Or our family? Thank the Lord for our family, our church, our salvation, for allowing us to serve Him right here in this church. That is a big deal, to be able to serve the Lord. Do we thank Him for all His benefits towards us? You know, the best thing we can do, and actually, the only thing we can do is let the Lord be magnified. Right here. Let the Lord be magnified. That is what we can do. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I'll let the Lord be magnified. David says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 13, it has been said at the Passover, they would sing this song, I will take up the cup of my salvation, pointing to the one who was coming. This cup is probably the cup Jesus said, I will not drink of it till I drink of it with you in the kingdom. He was going to drink this cup in the morning. He prayed, let this cup pass from me, not my will, but your will be done. He took mine and your salvation. That cup was poured out on him by an angry God. And he tasted death for every man. This is the more reason why we should call upon the name of the Lord. And if you haven't called upon the name of the Lord for the gift of eternal life, today you must do that. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. And that's what Paul said. This corruption must put on incorruptible. It must happen. Verse 14, we should pay our vows unto the Lord in the presence of his people, as the law required. Praise him in public, not like cowards. Praise him in the congregation, not forsaking it. You need to praise him in the congregation, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. God hears, God helps, God's holy. Verse 15, God is holy. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Bruce and I were lettering the truck one day and we were talking about this verse. I really don't think this verse means what everybody else thinks it means, and I've come to the conclusion neither does he. But, you know, David's life was so precious, the Lord would not allow his enemies or Saul to take it. And it's precious when one of his little ones loses his life for him. And it will be precious in the tribulation when his little saints are slaughtered for him. God is holy. Oh Lord, truly, verse 16, I am your servant. I am thy servant. David was a servant of God. He said it twice in case you missed it the first time. Are you a servant of the Lord? Can you confidently say it over and over as David does? Do people know you as a servant of the Lord? David says, I am a servant. I am thy servant. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for what the Lord does and call upon him. He wants us to. He urges us to come to him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lonely in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. Cast your burdens upon me, and I shall sustain you. He asked us to. He wants us to. Offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thank the Lord for what he's done. I will pay my vows, verse 18, unto the Lord now. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. He will not huddle in a corner, but praise him in the presence of his people. He will praise him now. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday. David says, I will praise him now. We need to praise the Lord now, for we are not guaranteed tomorrow. You have an opportunity to serve the Lord right now. You're going to take advantage of that opportunity? You need to praise him now. Not tomorrow. Not next Sunday. We don't want to praise him for attention. We want to praise him to stir the people unto praise and thanksgiving. And we can do that by proper praise and thanksgiving. We will stir other people into praising the Lord and thanksgiving. Verse 19, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of his people, he's saying he's going to praise him in the house of God. You know, some Christians get disturbed when other Christians are on fire for the Lord. They're happy in their little stagnant ways. David says he will praise him in and out of the assembly. He ends this psalm with the verse that made me want to preach it. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us to get out of any routine or any slackness, being stagnant. We only have one opportunity to praise the Lord, and that is now. Amen. A couple thoughts from Psalm 116 today. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this psalm and the words of David and how they pertain to our Savior and the thanksgiving of the psalm and a love song and a praise for deliverance from death. The gratitude of the redeemed. We just pray for each one of us here today to contemplate these thoughts and serve the Lord. Call upon him. We thank you for what he's done for us, and we want to praise him. We want to lift it up now in the rest of our day to be with us, guide us, bring us here tonight that we may serve the Lord while we can. Bless our time now in Jesus' name.